Now we're going to talk about food from one subject to another, swinging around here. It's an occasional series, Do It Yourself. We look at things we'd like to be able to do by ourselves, but perhaps don't know how. Some of you will, of course. A hangi is something many of us love, but do you know how to put one down? Isaac Matai is from Gisborne and of Ngāti Piru descent, and I spoke to Isaac earlier this evening, and I started by asking him, when did he learn to put down a hangi?
Oh, gosh, it was my daddy showed us, and we'd probably be around about 5 years onwards. So we had it every Christmas and special occasions, and that was the original way with the old in the ground with the rocks and sticks and all that sort of thing.
Gee, that's a great skill to know so early. So
Let's
start at the beginning. What kind of rocks do you use?
Well, they were from the Mohaka River, and they're gifted to my father, and apparently there's a special time of the year that you get them. It's got to be in sunlight and moonlight, and there's a little glow. They actually glow in the moonlight, and you select them that way there. And they're the best of the lot. So you can't just get any rock. It has to be a specific rock that will take the heat and won't crack.
And then you hang on to them for the rest of your natural sort of thing.
And that's the best thing about it. You do, and you don't loan them out, because some people are too rough, and when they're hot, they tend to throw the rocks on the other rocks, and they shatter. And then they become useless, basically, because they won't hold the heat.
Right, so you've got to be careful with them. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Righto, so are they all the same size?
No. So you can get different weight ranges and sizes, of course. So you might go anywhere from as small as probably 1 kg, 2 kg, right up to something like 5 or 6 kgs, or even 7, 8. So the big ones hold the weight, and they basically go in the centre of the hangi, and That cooks most of it, and use the smaller ones that surround the rest of the hole so the rocks are level so you can put your basket on top.
Do you use the same pit all the time, or do you dig a different one?
No, use the same pit, because once you've dug the hole, when you do the first one, it's soft and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So year after year, as you use it, it bakes hard. So you can manage, it's a bit like a furnace type thing, so the dirt actually solidifies and stays nice and solid. So I leave my rocks inside the hole, and I just fill it back in with dirt. When I'm ready for the next year, I just go and dig them, pull them out again, and I use the original hole, because you know where it's going to be, because it's much harder surface than the other surrounding ground. Basically, what you do is you get your wood, and we specifically used, with my dad, it was railway sleepers, because he worked for the railways, and they're nice hardwood. Australian hardwood.
Yeah.
And, they burn and burn and burn forever, so they're really hot. Burn hot, and so we stack our fire up there, just crisscross, like our pickup sticks type of thing, so crisscross. So it's a nice solid frame that will hold the rocks. Then once that frame is done, we put the rocks on top of that, and then basically we light the fire. And it takes a good hour and a half for it to burn through until the rocks start going red.
Do you put newspaper in that underneath the wood and light it that way?
Yep. So what we do is we dig a hole first. So we've got the hole.
Yeah.
And our hole is normally around about a foot deep. So it's nice and shallow. So what happens is you put your paper in there, your kindling on top there, then you build your big fire up top with your big solid boards at the bottom. And then you work up slowly, getting thinner and thinner as you go up the build the stack, the firewood stack up. And you put your rocks on top, and as it burns, it collapses in, so the rocks fall into the hole as the wood burns.
Yes, of course, right. So it's like crisscross or slats.
Yeah.
How big is the hangi itself, at the actual hole?
The size of our basket would be something like, only a small one, 800 by 800 millimetres or 80 centimetres, so it's just under a metre square. And so you can imagine if you can just put that net into a hole in a circle around it, so they're touching each corner. So I guess what, there'd be a metre wide.
That's perfect.
Diameter.
And you're ready to go. So what are you putting in your basket?
Okay. So what you do is, what you're going to do is you pull your rocks out, you lay a sheet of corrugated iron to the side of the hole, and basically what you do is you put your rocks on that so it still stays warm. So once you throw it on grass or dirt, it's going to pull the heat out of the rock. So you put it on something just to shield it or insulate it from the ground so it still stays hot. Then you rake all the ashes out or shovel them out, whatever's best, to the side of the hangi. You put your rocks very carefully back into the hole, So the nice and gives a nice flat surface or balance. You know, you've got to put your basket on top.
Yep.
So it's basically a horizontal or level, rather, I should say. And then, yeah, once you pour your food in. But before you put the food in, if you wanted to know about that.
Yeah, what are we putting in there?
Okay. Normally, we have three choices of meats. So it could be mutton, pork, or chicken. They are the most favourable of the lot there. And the mutton could be either chops, a few roasts, etc. The pork could be the same. It could be roast as well as chops cut up. And then the chicken, we normally put those in whole, put stuffing inside the chicken, and yeah, we put that into the honey.
Do you put that into anything or just into the basket?
Well, the way I do mine is I wrap mine individually in tin foil.
Oh, yeah.
So what happens is I'll prepare the meat, salt, pepper, a few onions on top of that. Then I'll wrap it in tin foil, and that's one basket. Okay, that's a package for meat. And I'll repeat that with each one of those packs. So it could be a chicken with salted, peppered onions and with that one there. And then I'll wrap that chicken up. So I'll do that with each one of the meat portions. So I might have about four or five different packs of those. And then we'll just do the potatoes, peel the potatoes, the pumpkin, potatoes, kumaras.
Yes.
Peel those, and I'll put those into different bags. And when I say bags, it's normally muslin cloth we use. So we tie that into a bag like that. So we'll have one for the potatoes, one for the kumara, and then all we'll do is just clean the pumpkin. We'll leave the skins on them, clean them, slice them up, and clear the pips out of that, and chop those up and chuck them into another bag, and then we'll have a bag of cabbage as well. So we've got basically four vegetables and three meats going into that, and that's the standard type honey that we use these days.
That sounds fantastic. So
yeah.
So you've got all that in the basket. What do we put on top of it?
Okay, so what happens is with me, I chuck cabbage leaves. So you know how you get the outside of the cabbage? It's all the big, thick leaves.
Yes.
I'll throw that on top of my basket, on top of the food items. And that there will just give it an extra bit of a layer, a coverage, and then also a bit of moisture going through. And it also gives it a bit more taste going through the hangi as well. Then we go back to the hangi, pull the rocks out, pull the ashes out. That's all set, put the rocks back in. We grab the hangi basket, go back to the hole, put it in. And then what we do is put a nice clean cloth, generally a white cloth, over the top of the whole hangi, covering the whole hole, just like laying a bed, your sheet on the bed, put it over the whole hangi, and then we just start putting the sacks. And these are real thick sacks like you used to use with the old seed grain and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So it's material, it's like a hemp type thing. But those are soaked overnight. So they're really saturated with water.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So we leave that overnight. And then basically we've got them in a big bucket of water, massive tray of water. So once we've laid down that sheet, we'll grab those sacks individually and lay it crisscross along the top there so that we seal off the hangi from the atmosphere or from the earth, from everything above. So once all that's done, we've got it basically looks like a made bed. We just start sealing the edges with dirt right around the outside edges of the sacks, and then we start filling inwards.
Oh, yes, yeah, okay.
Inwards over the top of that. And we start getting a mound. It's just a little hollow, shallow mound. And then we'll look at that there and keep on filling up that mound until we've stopped all the steam coming up. But at this stage, there's a lot of steam coming up. There's a lot of steam coming up, so we just keep filling in dirt on top of the hangi until it's all stopped steaming. So once it's all done, we'll go back every now and again just to check that there's no steam coming through. Otherwise, you're losing pressure and you're losing that extra energy to cook the hangi. And we'll just get a bit of dirt on a spade and just throw it on and just pat it back down again, just like doing a castle.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Righto, and then how long would that take to cook?
Okay, so we burn it for about an hour and a half. The whole hangi burns for an hour and a half. The actual cooking of the hangi could take, depends on the size of the hangi. Average size for probably about 8 to 10 people, which is average, probably about 2.5 hours, 3 hours. And you can't look at it whether it's cooked or not. You just have to use, you know, experience and all that sort of thing.
Yes.
And you just know the size of your hangi, plus your stones, how hot they are. And you just say, well, look here, it'll take about 3 hours. Generally about 3 hours, I'll leave it in there. So what we'll do is we'll go there and we put on last, it comes off first. So we start from the middle at the top of that mound and start scraping that off, tear everything off to the side there. It'll start at such time as that the sacks are exposed. We start peeling the sacks off one by one, like peeling a banana, outwards, so no dirt falls back into the hole and therefore into the hung.
Yeah.
And then we get to that white cloth I was talking about. It should be nice, clear and white, no dirt or anything like that. And just peel that there off and voila, you've got your hung all set to take away and cut up.
Wow, that was a great lesson. Thank you. I could see it step by step. That's really great, Isaac.
Yeah, the biggest thing about that there is a lot of people don't have stones anymore because they've linked them out and people have just been too rough and they've smashed them when they've put them in the hangi. So what a lot of people doing now are using, you know, railway tracks. They cut them up into about, 10 centimetres long lengths or even longer, or they use real big lengths of chain like they use on boats, on the big ships.
Yeah.
Those, they use short lengths of those and get those red hot and use that as an alternative.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah. Well, it's holding the heat, and that's the best thing about it.
Well, that's an incredible lesson. Thank you very, very much. Yeah. And what time's dinner?
I check now because I've got no more of those. It was too hard to get the sacks in the end. I'd end up with big holes and burn marks, etc. I can just wear and tear. Plus, my rock's been broken so many times that I went to irons, but then I run out of sacks, and I use steamers now. But it doesn't have the taste. There's a big difference in taste and smell from an original one as opposed to a steamer. There's no smell, there's no taste to it.
Not
like from out of the ground.
Do you need some new sacks?
And I also need some new suns too.
Some new suns?
That sort of thing.
Some new what?
I need a bigger family, if that is the case. I need sons to do the holes and all that sort of thing. It's quite laborious, though, when you get to my age.
It certainly is. It sounds like it. Good on you, Isaac. Thank you so much for that.
Awesome.
That's Isaac Matai from Gisborne, who I spoke to earlier about putting down a hangi. Great advice, wasn't it?